Today's Shi'ur is Masechta Shabbos Daf Chof. We will begin at the Mishnah at the bottom of Daf Yud Tesma Beis. As the Rishonim introduce our Mishnah to understand, they explain that as we began learning in earlier Mishnayos in this Perek, Beis Shammai have some very strict opinions about what one may do or not do on Erev Shabbos. And Beis Shammai's opinion, as we discussed, is that Shvisas Kalim is Asur. Teaches us the Mishnah, Beis Hillel was lenient. But teaches us this Mishnah, that even though Beis Shammai was Machmer and Beis Hillel was more Mekel, there's a place where even Beis Hillel is Machmer. Why is Beis Hillel Machmer in the situation that we're going to discuss in this Shi'ur? Because as we've discussed previously, even though Beis Hillel is lenient regarding the subject of Shvisas Kalim, Beis Hillel is concerned with what Chazal called Shem Yichata. Chazal were concerned under certain circumstances, somebody may stoke a fire on Shabbos, and of course, that's Osir. And that's what we're going to discuss now, that Beis Hillel, where is there a concern for Shem Yichata B'Gecholim, that if there's a concern for Shem Yichata B'Gecholim, even Beis Hillel would agree that certain things may not be done on Erev Shabbos. So says the Mishnah, Ein soilin basar batzel ubeya. We may not roast meat, onions, and eggs, or eggs on Friday. You have to put them on the fire in enough time, kadesh yitzalim by jom, that they get roasted before Shabbos. Because otherwise we're concerned you may stoke the fire if they weren't ready before Shabbos to have them edible on Shabbos. Furthermore, we may not put bread into the oven close to Shabbos. We may not put biscuits upon coals. Again, unless there's enough time that the bread gets a crust before Shabbos. The bottom of surface has to get a crust. What he means, we'll see in the Gemara. So the Miri asks a question. We learned that Ein Roidin Masapas B'Shabbos, that Radiyas HaPas, we had a very long discussion at our beginning of our Masechta, taking the dough out of the oven on Shabbos is Asur. So what's the point of putting a dough into the oven on Shabbos, asked the Miri, if by doing so, you're going to be over the Isra of Radiyah? So he says that sometimes we're talking about that you could take it down with a knife. And since you could take it down with a knife, that's not considered Radiyah Sapas. Or apparently, he says, there were certain doughs that fell down by themselves from the oven. And since they fell down from the oven, there is no Isra, obviously, of taking that bread if it was put in the right time before Shabbos. When Pesach comes out on Shabbos, when Erev Pesach is on Shabbos, so they shechted the Korban Pesach and Erev Pesach Friday, and they had to be careful to put that Korban Pesach into the oven to be roasted before Shabbos. Says the Mishnah, Mishashnos a Pesach v'tanim chashecha, we could put the Pesach into the oven close to Shabbos on Friday afternoon. And we don't have to worry, as the Gemara is going to explain why, for people are going to perhaps stir the coals under the Korban Pesach. Another halacha, in the Beis HaMikdash, there was an area called the Beis HaMikdash, a place where there was a fire. So Rashi explains, since we know the Kohanim had to walk in the Beis HaMikdash barefoot, so it was quite cold. So there was a place where there was a fire under the floor of the Azara that they could walk on that warm floor. And now the Mishnah is teaching us we could put that fire on Erev Shabbos, and we need not be concerned, as the Gemara will explain why as we get into the Sugya, for Shem Yichata B'Gecholim. That's one pshat. Other pshat that Rambam seems to suggest is we know that even though there was an Eish, there was a fire that came down from heaven to on the Mizbeach, mitzvosoi lahavi min ahedyet. There's still a mitzvah to bring fire. We have to participate in the fire. And what the Mishnah means to discuss is that fire that we made, from which we're going to add fire that was man-made to the Mizbeach, that fire, there is no problem of Shem Yechata on. Ubegvulim, but outside the Beis HaMikdash, if you're lighting firewood, it only can be lit if Kadesh Teches HaRor Barubai. If there's time for most of the fire to catch onto the wood. Rehuda says, but if you're using coals, so coals are very flammable, and since coals are very flammable, as soon as you light the coals, we're sure they're all going to take light, and since they're all going to take fire, we don't have to worry that you're going to stoke it on Shabbos. Begins the Gemara. So we said that if you want to put something on the barbecue to roast before Shabbos, you have to make sure that it's done before Shabbos, otherwise we'll consider Shem Yichat B'cholim. Ask the Gemara V'kama, how much does it have to be roasted before Shabbos that I should not anymore have a concern? Says the Gemara, Amar B'loz Amar Rav, Kedei Sheyitzolim B'boi Join K'machal Ben Rasoi. It has to be cooked enough that it's a Machal Ben Rasoi. There's a Machlokes Rishonim throughout Shas, what is the definition of Machal Ben Rasoi? Rashi said the definition of Machal Ben Rasoi is a third cooked. And the way Rashi explains is that Ben Rasoi was a very famous thief. And he was always on the run. And he didn't have time for his food to get properly cooked. And therefore, he ate the food at a minimum amount of cooking, which according to Rashi is a third cooked. The Rambam holds that it's half cooked. And the Shulchan Aruch, indeed in Hilchos Shabbos, paskins that it has to be half cooked. Even though, points out the Magen Avraham, as we're going to speak in a minute about Bishlakim, and we're going to speak there about Machal Ben Rasoi as well, says the Magen Avraham in Arachayim Simresh Nondalitz of Cotton Ches, that by Bishlakim, the Shulchan Aruch in Yerideya Simen Kuf Yud Gimel Sif Ches, paskins that Machal Ben Rasoi is Shlish Bishl, like a third of the Bishl. That's because Bishul Akim is a Drabonon. Here, we were speaking about Hilchos Shabbos. When Hilchos Shabbos, we're dealing with Isurei Deraisa, and that's why we're much stricter. And for Shabbos, that we should be able to rely on this, it has to be half-cooked. Amar Itmanami, Amar Rav Asi, Amar Rav Yochanan, Kosh K'machem and Rasoi, when something is cooked K'machem and Rasoi, Eimem Shul Bishul Akim, there's no problem with Bishul Akim. So the Pasha Pshat in the Gemara is that if a Jew cooks something and he only cooked it to a third of what it's considered cooked, and then he took it off the fire, and then the Akum finished the cooking, since the Jew did the cooking of Kamacha Ben Rasoi, that is adequate that it should not have any more problem of Bishul Akum. That's the Pasha Pshat in the Gemara. Of course, the question that comes up is what about the other way around? What would be the halacha if a Jew, if an Akum cooked it, K'macha Ben Rasoi, and then it was taken off the fire, and after it was taken off the fire, the Jew completed it. Will that be also a special Akum? Because the Akum already made it into a third cooked. Or do we say that since the Jew contributed to being able to eat it, and without the Jew contributing to be able to eat it, it would not be edible? Maybe there is no issue is Machal Ben Rasoi. So it's a Machloikus Rishonim. This is the subject of a Machloikus Rishonim. The opinion of the Rajba, which is quoted in the Beis Yosef, in Simen Kuf Yud Gimel, is the Rajba holds L'chumra, and the Rajba's opinion is that once the Akum made it edible to a sheer Machal Ben Rasoi, even though the Jew completed that, it's not salvageable. The Rosh is Mekel if the Yisrael finished the Bishul. The Shulchan Aruch, Paskins like the Rosh, but he says you should only rely on the Rosh, but Mokum Hefsa Meruba, or if it's Erev Shabbos or Erev Yontif. their Taka Tshuva takes what we spoke about before as a consideration. And he says, if the Akum only cooked at a third of the Bishul, so he says, since according to the Rambam, the Shlish Bishul is not considered cooked at all, so since Shlish Bishul is not considered cooked at all, if it was taken off only at the point of Shlish Bishul, there we could be more lenient. The Ramah, so the Shulchan Aruch Paskins like the Rajba, he only says you could rely on the Rosh under extreme circumstances. The Ramah Paskins like the Rosh. However, not everybody agrees to a simple understanding of the Ramah. They make a difference if it's mitzdamik v'yofaloi or mitzdamik v'raloi. The Pesachei Tshuva quotes the Shlah that says that we shouldn't be makel. He paskins like a mashal who's machmer. But certainly, b'shas atchak, everybody could be makel. Also, the paskins say that you could rely on other heterim. In other words, if, let's say you have other reasons to be makel besides this reason. So this could be a sniff to be makel in Hilchos Bishul Akum. Tanya, says the Gemara, Chananya Omer, Kol Shum Avoshol, Kol Kishum Achav and Rasoi, anything that came to the degree of Machav and Rasoi, Muta Lashoy Sael Gabakira, you could leave it on the oven, Vav Pi Shein Grufa Viktuma. This is the halach that we all know about a blech on Friday afternoon. The halach is that there's a machlokes that we're going to learn later in our masech, the beginning of Perikira, a machlokes Chananya and Chachamim. And let's talk about this machlokes for a moment. According to the Chachamim, you may not leave food on the oven Erev Shabbos unless the fire is completely covered, unless the food is completely cooked. Because if the food is completely cooked, then we don't have to worry, Shema Yechata B'Gecholim. And even on that point, there's a Machlokes Amoraim, which we're going to learn in Daf Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph, is it enough that it's completely cooked and it's mitzdamik v'raloi, that it gets worse when it's cooked more? Or if it's completely cooked, even though it's mitzdamik v'yofaloi, once it's completely cooked, there's no problem. But if it's not completely cooked, according to the Chachamim, unless the kira is grufa and ketuma, you may not leave food on that oven on Erev Shabbos. Chananya's opinion is more lenient. And he says that even if the food is cooked only kamachem ben rusoi, you can leave it there Erev Shabbos, even though it's not grufa ketuma. It seems that our Gemara is paskening very clearly like Chananya, that once the food came to the degree of machem ben rusoi, there's no more issue of grufa ketuma. In fact, that is the opinion of the Baal Hamor, that we should paskin like Chananya. The Rishonim, however, question this, because many Rishonim paskin like the Chachamim. And they want to distinguish between something which is cooked in a pot versus something which is roasted in our Gemara. Something which is roasted on the oven, there, once it's Kamacha ben Rasoi, we don't have to be concerned, says the Baal Hamor. Why don't we have to be concerned? Because if it's on the fire, it's being roasted directly on the fire, and it's ready kamacha ben rasoi, we don't have to worry that this person is going to stoke the fire. He knows it's going to be fine on Shabbos. It's going to be edible on Shabbos. Whereas if it's being cooked in a pot, so just because it's already cooked a third doesn't mean that the person is confident that it's going to be ready for Shabbos. And therefore, over there, They're more machmer, and unless it's completely cooked, it's in the special called tzarchoi, it has to be grufa ketuma. Says the Gemara, we learned in the Mishnah, ein noisim sapas, we may not put the bread in the oven, unless there's time for it to become a crust before Shabbos. Rav Elazar says, the bottom has to crust. But ask the Gemara, Yiboy Lehu, in trying to understand what does Rav Elazar mean, Tachten Heich. What is the definition of Hachten? Doesn't mean the Gabba Tanner. Doesn't mean the bottom that touches the wall. As we've discussed previously in our Shurim, the way they used to bake dough, the typically the food that they ate was pita. And the way they would bake the pita was by putting the pita on the wall of the oven. And the question is, does it mean the part that touches the oven? Or the part that faces the fire? And the way Rashi learns, the part that that touches the oven is harder to get crusted than the part that's facing the fire. Since it's open to the fire, it's going to get crusted quicker. Toshma, says the Braisa, Rebbe Elazar Omer Kadeshi Pana Hamadok Matanor. He means the part that touches the fire. And as I saw the Rishonim explain, why are we so anxious to understand the opinion of Rebbe Elazar? Because whatever Rebbe Elazar's opinion is going to be, the Chachamim are going to hold just the opposite. So if Rebbe Elazar is the Machmer, and Rebbe Elazar is going to hold that in order to be considered edible or to be considered acceptable, it has to be the part that's touching the wall. So obviously the opinion of Chachamim is that as long as the part that's touching the fire is not, as long as the part that's touching the fire is not, is crusted, that would be adequate. So it turns out that the Chachamim are, so the Chachamim are telling us a kula. And we're anxious to know the opinion of the Chachamim because the Halacha is like the Chachamim. So it's important to know what they hold versus what Rebbe Elazar holds. Says the Gemara. Mishalshon sa Pesach. So we learned that we can lower the Korban Pesach even right before Shabbos. My Tama. Ask the Gemara, why are we being lenient? Ask the Gemara, why are we being lenient? And not be concerned for Shem Yichat B'Gecholim. Answers the Gemara, Mishem Demnecha Buruz Rizenheim. Since the Korban Pesach was brought by a group, and in the group, there are going to be people that will always make sure to do what's right. And since the people are always going to make sure to do what's right, they're going to make sure that the Korban Pesach, nobody's going to stoke the fire. So according to this pshat of Rashi, this heter is going to be in all situations. Whenever we have a situation of a concern for Shem Yichat B'Gecholim, if we have a group of people that we can be confident that this group of people will make sure that everything is done properly, we need not be concerned about Shem Yichat B'Gecholim. But Rashi, in a different place, Rashi, Masechta Erevin, has a very different explanation. He says, a Korban Pesach, as we just said, was typically brought by a group. But when it was brought by a group, they were careful to appoint distinguished individuals who were very makbin and Hilchos Shabbos, that they should be the ones that take care of the Korban Pesach. Since they were so makbit, that only such individuals should take care. So those people are careful not to do the wrong thing. According to that pshat, if it'll be a regular situation, even if you'll have a group of people, we probably could not be lenient, says the Gemara. Holav hochi. But if we didn't have this special heter, that we have a group of people, loy, we cannot be lenient. Ask the Gemara of Amamar. We learned early in this parak, gadya, when we bring goat meat, which the Korban Pesach came from, bein sharik bein loy sharik, whether the oven it was sealed or not, shapadami. Because since the meat, as we explained, is so tender, nobody's going to open up the oven and stoke the fire because they're going to be concerned that it's going to ruin the meat. So why don't we just say that teretz? Answers the Gemara, Hoch sa mintach, hoch alay mintach. Where it's cut into pieces, so the draft will indeed ruin the meat. And therefore, we don't have to worry about Shem Yichata. But when the meat is not cut into pieces, we know that the Korban Pesach, the Pasuk says, Roshay akrov al kirboy, you have to have the whole carbon in one big piece. There, the draft doesn't ruin it. And since the draft doesn't ruin it, we have to be concerned for Shem Yichat B'Gecholim, if not that we had the special teretz that we just said, of B'dei Chabura Zrizenheim. Another teretz that Ritva suggests, the Gemara could have said, is that when the meat is in a closed oven, so there, we don't have to be worried, as we learned early in the parak, Shem Yichat B'Gecholim. The person will realize opening the oven only can ruin the meat. But the Karban Pesach is brought on an open spit. And therefore, there's no closed oven to prevent you from stoking the fire. So the Ritva says, the Gemara could have actually suggested that teretz. The Gemara gave a teretz, that a new teretz, that we should know that there's a difference in halacha between menutach, something which is broken into pieces, and that. As we discussed in the Mishnah, u'machizin sa'ar, we could ignite the fire in the Beis HaMikdash. Menonymily, ask the Gemara, for where do we know this? So the Pnei Yeshua asks, everything we're discussing here is a drabonon. So how could the Gemara ask menonymily? Says the Gemara, what it means to say is, how do we know that the Beis HaMikdash, we could be more makel in general? We could be, says the Gemara, Amar Rav Huna, Leisvar Eish B'chol Mesh V'Seichem. Because when the Torah singles out fire, the Torah says, Leisvar Eish B'chol Mesh V'Seichem. The teachers, B'chol Mesh V'Seichem Yat HaMavir, we have to, we're stricter in people's private homes, Aval Yat HaMavir B'duris Beis HaMoked, in the Beis HaMikdash, we could be more lenient. Maskler of Chizda, Ihochi, Afil B'Shabbos Nami. If we're saying that the Torah is saying B'chol Mesh V'Seichem is teaching us that we could be lenient regarding fire in the Beis HaMikdash, so why are we only being lenient on Friday afternoon? We could be lenient on Shabbos as well. Elam Rav Chizda, Kra Kri Asi, the Pasuk is coming to teach us that Avaram B'Bdaram Hudasa, that the parts of the animal that were of Karbonis that were brought on Friday, you could put them on the Mizbeach Friday night. That's what the Pasuk is coming to teach us. So now we're back to our original question. So why are we allowed to put on a fire in the Beis HaMikdash, in the Beis HaMoked, Friday afternoon, right before Shabbos? Why should we not be concerned for Shem Yechata? Says the Gemara, there's a different reason. Because Kehanim's reasoning. So when we learn here that you put the Evarim B'Dorim on the fire Friday night, it's not that simple. It's only parts that were on the Mizbeah from Erev Shabbos. Since you already put them on the Mizbeah from Erev Shabbos, and now Friday night comes, you could continue to leave them on the Mizbeah Friday night. And according to the Ritva, you could even add wood to keep them burning. But if they weren't on the Mizbeah Friday afternoon, you could not put them on Friday evening. We learned further in the Mishnah, but if you're doing it outside the Beis HaMikdash, most of it has to catch fire, Kadesh Shetach Sarah Berubah. Then and only then can you let the wood burn from Erev Shabbos. Ask the Gemara, my Reuben, what is the definition of Reuben? Amarav Roiv Kol Echav Echad. Most of every piece that you have, of every piece of wood, has to have caught fire. Shmuel Omer, Shmuel disagrees. He says, Kadesh Shlo Yomru, Havei Eitz V'Neich Techteim. If it caught fire to the degree that you don't need to bring more wood to help this fire get going, that's considered enough of a fire that it's going to continue on its own, and we need not be concerned about Shem Yechata. Says the Gemara, Tana Reb Chiya L'Siyu L'Shmuel, Kedei Shtei Shel Heves Oilem Eleh. The Pasuk says, B'Aloyscheh Saneiris. Says the Gemara, what is the definition? Kedei Shtei Shel Heves Oilem Eleh. You have to, the Kohen has to do that Lokdus Menorah to the degree that the fire goes up on its own. And not that you should need any more assistance in getting this fire going. So I saw that the Sfas Emes says a beautiful pshat, and what the Gemara says here, Kedei Shetei Levis Oilem Eileu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu recognizes that we're humans, and that our abilities are limited as well. So what our job is, that Kedei Shetei Levis, we have to do what we can do. And after we do what we can do, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does the rest. And then I saw that Reb Socha Doiv from Belz takes, Reb Shumi Belz takes this a step further based on the Baal Shem. He says, sometimes a person does a mitzvah and he's anxious to do the mitzvah and he does the mitzvah with a lot of cheshik, with a lot of gishmak. And sometimes a person does a mitzvah, he really is not in the madrega to do the mitzvah. He forces himself to do the mitzvah. Says the Baal Shem, that's all that HaKadosh Baruch Hu asks from us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu realizes that there's nothing that we could complete on our own. that everything we do, we need to rely on Hashem to help us get it done. And that's what the pasuk says. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to do, to light the menorah. The menorah will start burning. That's me'aleha, by itself. What does it mean by itself? Nothing happens by itself. The rest, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, will help that it should get done properly. Continues the Gemara. Eitz Yechidi. What about if you have one big piece of wood? What is the shear? That should be considered that once it started burning, it's that you don't have to worry anymore about Shabbos. Rav Amaroy Avyoy, most of the thickness of that piece of wood has to start burning before Shabbos. Vamilei, but there are other opinions that says Baroy Fakefai, most of the circumference. Amra Papa, since we have this machlokes, there's one mandam that says you need most of the thickness, and there's one mandam that says you need most of the circumference. So we're machmer, Hilchach bina roiv, ofyoy bina roiv akefoy. We need to have both. Says the Gemara, this question is how much of the wood has to start burning? Do you need rav ofyoy or roiv hakefoy? Suggests the Gemara's machlokes tanoim. Rav Chiya Omer, the Rav Chiya's opinion is, kidei shiyashoches ha'etz b'melechas ha'uman, when you have a single thick piece of wood and you want to put it on a Friday, only if there was enough time before Shabbos for the wood to be ruined by the fire for the work of a craftsman, that means the fire penetrated most of the thickness of the wood, then and only then could you light it before Shabbos. Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseir Omer, today shitoichas ha'esh b'tnei tzadim. There has to be enough time for the fire to catch on from the two sides of the piece of wood, which is another way of saying most of the circumference. And even though there's no proof what is the proper halacha, the pasuk in Yecheskel compares the people of Yerushalayim to a wild grapevine that does not produce fruit. It's an inferior wine because the wood is not used for any wood. Vine on which grapes grow is not real wood. It could only be used for firewood. The pasuk says, once the fire extends to both sides of the vine, the inside is posh and it can't be used for any wood. So we see a snake tzois of ochle esh. Once the two ends of the vine have been consumed by the fire, toichen nocher, the inside is completely dried out, hayitzlach melocha. So we see that once most of the circumference has been lit, that's considered that it's not usable anymore. The pasuk in Yirmiyahu speaks about King Yoyakim burning the scroll sent to him by Yirmiyahu, which tells him about the Churban of Yerushalayim. And the pasuk says, "Vesa'och l'fana muvayaris." Ask the Gemara, "My och." What does the pasuk speak about? What does the pasuk mean when it says, "Och"? We threw that scroll in. Amarav achvana. It means an achvana. Which is a willow, a rava. Shmuel Amar Eitzim Shenidluku BaAchva, which means a fire made up of a bunch of pieces of wood. Says the Gemara, Huda Amalei. There was a person who said to everybody, Man Bay Achvana, who wants to purchase for me Achvana? Ishtakach, and they found that he was selling Arvasa. He was selling Aravas. So we see from here that the definition of Achvana is Aravas. Amar Rav Huna. Konim, when you're using loose reeds, you don't have to have that the fire should catch on to most of them before Shabbos. Because once some of them get lit, the rest will get lit very quickly. Agdam, but if you put them together, then he says Tzrichim Roif. Then you have to have that most of it should get burnt on Shabbos, because there's no way that the fire will necessarily catch from one to the other. Garinan, if you're using loose pits to make a fire, ain't Srichen Roif, because soon as some of them are lit, the rest will burn as well. Dust them in a chai slice, but if you put them in a basket, then again, Srichen Roif, because since the heap together, the fire can't necessarily enter all over the place. Maskla Rav Chisda, ask Rav Chisda, Adrabba, If anything, I would say just the opposite. Konim, when we have loose reeds, so they're going to scatter. And therefore, we should, just because some are lit, doesn't mean the rest will get lit. However, agdom, when they're tied together, loy mevadrim, they're not going to separate. And therefore, as soon as some are lit, that should be adequate. And the same thing by garinin. If they're separate, we need to be concerned that they're going to be separate, and they're not going to, just because some are lit doesn't mean that the rest will get lit. However, nos and bechaisos, if they're all together in a basket, they're not going to get separated, and therefore, if some are lit, that should be enough. Amar Rav Kahana, konim she'ogdim, if you tie together reeds, tzrichim roiz. You need that most of them should get lit before Shabbos. Loy ogdim, but if you didn't tie them together, ain't tzrichim roiv. Here, Rav Kahana agrees with Rav Huna. The fire will not penetrate reeds which are tied together, but loose reeds, one will ignite the other. I, Rav Chisda, spoke about if they're separate, they may scatter. So Rav Kahana holds, since they're long and relatively heavy, explains Rashi, they will not scatter. Garinin, by the loose pits, you have to have roiv. Will it? Nosen b'chayislois, but here he holds that once they were put into a basket, so they have nowhere to go, and as soon as some are lit, the rest will get lit as well. Tzrichen roif. Tana Rabbi Yosef, Abra Meduris, there are four types of fire that you don't need roif, because these objects, these fuels, are so flammable that as soon as it gets partially lit, the rest will light up as well. Shal Zephas, pitch, shal Gofris, sulfur, Shogvina is cheese. The way I sort of refer to explain, it doesn't really mean cheese. It means grease. The Shalal Rav, dairy grease or regular grease. Mamsnisantana, Avshal Kash, the Shogvava, straw, very flammable. And as soon as a part of it is lit, the rest will get lit as well. Amar Rav Yochanan, Eitzim Shalbavel, wood from Bavel, Eitzrichim Roiv. They don't need Roiv because they're also extremely flammable. Mask of Lay Rav Yosef. Ask Rav Yosef, what do you mean when you say Eitzim Shalbavel? Ilay Mesilti, if you're going to tell me it's thin strips of wood that were used very often in Bavel, ask the Gemara. Hashta Psila, when we speak about the wick of an oil lamp, which we're going to speak about extensively in our next parak, Amu Ula, Hamadlik, when we speak about a wick, it has to be tzor shiad l'beroiv hayotzi. Most of the wick that's coming out of the lamp has to be on. Silti, so when we're speaking about thin strips of wood, which are less flammable than wicks, how can we say that? El Amar Rabbi Yosef, shoyche d'arza. He meant a branch of the cedar tree, which is very flammable. And therefore, and there's a substance between the branch, between the wood and the bark, which is very flammable. Rabbi Bar Amama, Zozo. It's referring to moss, again, something which is extremely flammable, and as soon as you light it before Shabbos, we need not be concerned on Shabbos. Hanu Lach Yitzisa Shabbos, Hanu Lach Yitzisa Shabbos, Hanu Lach Yitzisa Shabbos. The Torah Kedosha says, the Pasuk in Yeshaya says, V'kros l'Shabbos oinig l'chdoish m'shem m'chubed. Shabbos is a day of oinig Shabbos. And because there's a chiv of oinig Shabbos, we have to have candles lit in our home on Shabbos. Why? Because if the house is dark, we can't have a oinig Shabbos. Because a person who can't see what he's eating doesn't really enjoy what he's eating. Others say that the obligation to light a candle, to light candles, is covered Shabbos. A chash v'suda, a significant meal, you serve with candlelight. Others say it's because of shalom bayis. All these reasons we're going to explain it extensively, Mitzvah Shem, in our sugyas, in our perek now, that shalom bayis, where there's a candle on, so then there's going to be a peaceful atmosphere in the home. But if there's no candlelight, people could trip, and you won't have the proper shalom bayis in such a home. And therefore, we begin learning our perek by Mehmet Likin, which teaches us the halachas of candle, how you mekayim the mitzvah hadlokas neiris l'kavod Shabbos. And in fact, many have the minig to say the Shulchan Aruch at Simon Reish Ayin Sef Aleph Paskins, that many have the minig to say Perek B'Mem Medlikim on Friday evening. The Mishnah Berurah suggests that one should say it before Shabbos, because the whole point of saying it, as we're about to learn, is to remember that you have to light the candles and that you have to light them properly. If you're going to say it later in the day, then you haven't really accomplished much, because at that point you can't light candles otherwise. Anyway, there are others that say the reason we say Perek B'Mem Medlikim when we say Perek even later is for a whole different reason. The reason we say Perek B'Mem Medlikim at that point is that the shuls were in those days typically not in the city, and people who came late to davening would remain alone outside of the city to finish the davening. So that's why at the end of davening, they would all say Perek B'Mem Medlikim for the people who came late to be able to catch up. I saw a beautiful vart. The Mishnah we're about to learn says B'Mem Medlikim. How could somebody be madlik? How could somebody light in himself the fire of Avodas Hashem if he is a person who's B'Mem? He considers himself very insignificant. B'Mem. If you consider yourself insignificant, then madlikim, then you could be the person to light your Avodas HaKadosh. In fact, I saw an incredible story from Reb Nosson Adler, the Rebbe of the Chasam Sofer. Reb Nosson Adler said that somebody once came to him that he wanted to be tested to receive Kabbalah to be able to be a Shoichet. So Reb Nosson Adler told him, please come back for your test right before Shabbos on Friday evening. Okay? So Reb Nosson Adler told him to do so, so he did so. He came at that time, and Reb Nosson Adler was preparing the candles, and it looked like the fire of Gehenna was burning there. So Reb Nosson Adler said, that's the fire that shoichtim, who don't do their job properly, get burnt in. What was Reb Nosson Adler trying to show him? Unless you're really prepared, unless you're really on the right madrega, you can't be a shoichet. But why is that shown specifically on Friday afternoon as we're lighting the candles? Because that's a time when we come to a gvaldige madrega in Avodas Hashem. So since it's a time that we come to a gvaldige madrega in Avodas Hashem, that's why that's the time that we should, that's the time when a person should realize where is your madrega in Avodas Hashem that you should be able to do what you have to do. So there are three reasons we're going to learn why you have to be careful with what kind of fire, what kind of wick and oil you use. One is the reason that we've been discussing many times in our Masechta, and that's the concern of Shemayata. We're concerned that if you're not going to light it properly, you're going to, if the fire doesn't burn properly, you may manipulate an shemiyata. Another reason is that the fire may go out. And as we discussed a moment ago, there's a point of shalom bayis. We want that you should enter Shabbos with the candles burning well. And if they're going to go out, you'll miss the shalom bayis. And therefore, we don't want you to use such candles. What's the nafkamina between the pshatim? An obvious nafkamina. When we learned in the previous perek, the chashash of shemiyata, there were certain circumstances where the Gemara said we need not be concerned for shemiyata. So if the concern is shemiyata, so whenever the concern for shemiyata doesn't exist, we don't have to worry. But if the concern is that the fire may go out, so it makes no difference if the concerns of Shemayata are there or not. Another important discussion, another interesting question. I saw that the Gemara says in Masechta Rosh Hashanah that one of the nisim that happened was that they would light the menorah on Rosh Hashanah and it would burn the whole year. So Rav Chaim Brisker once met the Imri Emes, and he asked Imri Emes, I have a very difficult time understanding that Gemara. For he said, there's a mitzvah to light the menorah every day. But if the way it worked in the Beis HaMikdash was that you lit the menorah on Rosh Hashanah and it lasted the whole year, so how did they fulfill the mitzvah of lighting the menorah every day? That was a question that they asked, that Rav Chaim Brisker asked the Imri Emes. So the Imri Emes said, you could be mekayim the mitzvah of lighting just by adding oil. So let's say somebody has a candle on from Friday afternoon and he doesn't have a match and he lit that candle too early before Shabbos. According to the Imri Emes, just adding oil to the fire is adequate. And that's what they did, he said, the Imri Emes in the Beis HaMikdash. They didn't relight the menorah, it lit for the whole year, but they added oil every day. Says the Mishnah, Mamad Likum, Mamad Emad Likum. What can we use for candlelights and what can we not? Emad Likum Loi Belechesh, it's the part that comes out of the cedar tree. V'loi Bechosin, flax that wasn't processed. V'loi Bekalach, a type of a silk. V'loi Bepsilas Eidah, V'loi Bepsilas Amidbar, a willow bast or desert fiber. V'loi Beyurokesh El B'nai Mayim, sea moss. V'loi Bezefes, now with pitch. V'loi B'shava, not with wax. V'loi B'shem Kik, the Gemara will explain that. V'loi B'shem Tzreifa. V'loi Be'alyo, you may not use sheep tail. V'loi B'chelev, not with tallow. Nachma Amadi Omer, Madlikim B'chelev Mevushel. You could use boiled tallow. V'chamar Me'ech Mevushel, V'echad Shein Mevushel. Whether it's cooked or whether it's not cooked. And Madlikim, but you may not use it for the candles for Friday night. Says the Gemara, Lechesh, what is the definition of lechesh? Shoicha de arza, it's the bark of a cedar tree. Ask the Gemara, shoicha de arza, the bark of a cedar tree, eats balma. It's regular wood, so certainly it can't be used for a wick. What did the Mishnah have to teach us that? Answers the Gemara, what's being referred to in our Mishnah is by menisa de ispei. It's talking about there's a woolly substance that's in the bark, and the Mishnah is teaching us that you may not use that woolly substance either. You can't use chaisin. Amr Rabbi Yosi, what's the definition of chaisin? Noirish shel pishtin. It's part of flax that hasn't yet been completely processed. Amr Abaya, v'ksiv, v'hoya chaisin noirish. The pasuk says that the chaisin will become noirish. So obviously chaisin is not noirish. Answers the Gemara, Elam Abaya, chaisin must be kitna, it must be flax. The dayik, that the stems have been beaten, v'loi nofitz, but they haven't been combed, and then therefore they should not be used as a wick. V'loi b'kalach, what is the kalach? Om shmul, shaltene l'kol n'chus yama. Whenever I met a sailor, so they traveled the world, so they were very knowledgeable, amri kol chishmei. What it is something known as kolcha. Rav Yitzchak bar Zeira amar gushgura. It's a type of silk. Says the Gemara, Ravin v'Abaye have a yasvi kamei the Ravin the Chem Yachvu the Resh Galusa. They were sitting in front of Resh Galusa. Chazi the Havelav v'Shmetaksa. They saw they was wearing a garment made out of silk. Amalei Ravin l'Abaye, Chayne Klach the Tanan. You see that material from which that garment is made? That's Klach. Amalei, to which Abaye said to him, Anan, we call it Shir Pandakrinalei. We call it Shanda Shin Pardana. Although Rabbi Yitzchak ben Zeira identified the klach as an inferior grade silk, Ravin obviously held that it was regular silk. Abaye disagrees with Ravin and says that Rabbi Nechemya's silk is called paranda silk and that klach is an inferior grade. That's how the Maram explains the Gemara. But we have here Tiyufta. We have clearly that Ravin's interpretation is refuted in what the definition of Klachis, Ibai Seima, we can reconcile the opinion. There's Shira Lechud and there's Shira Panda Lechud. And that's why the Bryson mentioned them separately. V'loib Psilas Ha'idon, what is Psilas Ha'idon? Achvino. It's a substance that's found between the bark and the wood of a willow tree. Says the Gemara, Rav and Rabbi have a kazal of Pask the Marisa. They're walking in the valley of Tamrisa. Chazin al Har Arbisa, they saw willow trees. Amalei Rav and Labaya, Hani Eden the Tanan. That's the Eden that was referred to in our Mishnah. Amalei, to which he said, Hahi eats Baalmahu. That's just a regular wood, just a regular tree. Kalaf. So Ravan peeled some bark off the tree. Vachvalei Amnesu de Beni Bini showed him that substance that was there in the tree. V'loi b'psil samidbar. What's psil samidbar? Shavra, a tall grass that could be braided into wicks. V'loi b'roika shal pnei amayim. Mayhi ilayim uchmasa dacharitzi. If you're going to tell me that it means algae, says the Gemara, ufruchim africhin. Algae crumbles. So certainly you can't use that for a wick. Elamra papa. It's some sort of a moss that grows under the boats. Tana, Hasifra Leyim, that they said you can't use for a wick, shall tsemar, wool, or shall say or hair. Tana the Don, our Tana said, it didn't mention them, because to him it's obvious you can't use them, because tsemar michvitz kovitz, it gets curled up when you light it up, and sayer, churchimacha, burns quickly, and therefore it's obvious that you cannot use them for firewood. V'loi b'zephes, zephes zifsa, zephes is pitch, shavas karusa is wax. Tana, ad kam psil psilis. Until now we're talking about what can't be used for a wick. B'kam ve'elech, we're going to talk about psil shmonim, what can't be used as the oil. Pshita, of course, we're talking about oils now. Answers the Gemara, shavas istichalei. Ma'ad tam l'psilis nam l'chazio. You can't use wax even for a wick. Kamash malon. Amar rami bar oven. Itrin are psulta de zifsa. Itrin is the residue of pitch. Shava, wax, is the psulta de zifsa, the residue of honey. Ask the Gemara Lamayin Afkamina, what do I know to need this? Lameka chumimker. If somebody sells you wax, which is made this way, you can't tell them, well, it's not wax. The Gemara clearly calls it wax. Of course, the difficulty in understanding this Gemara is here the Gemara seems to tell us the wax can't be used as a candle. And we know that most people use wax as candles. So the Ratfas says, in the times of Chazal, the wax contained many impurities. Where it is Bismanazah, the wax doesn't have these impurities. On the contrary, the wax is purified and burns very well. And therefore, says the Ratfas, you can use wax for Shabbos candles, even though our Gemara says that you can't. The Bach says that Chazal never meant that wax can't be used, that he says, because the Gemara in those days, the wax that the Gemara is talking about is not the same wax that we have, Bizman Hazeh.